Thank you, young people. That's what it was like all week around here. And I tell you, they remember that stuff. I still remember stuff from Bible school. And the best news is about eight made a decision for the Lord this week. So we just thank the Lord for that. We really do. And that's what it's all about. I sure am glad they don't make me get up here and try to do those motions, though. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be able to keep up. Today we want to talk about the heart. I've called it Issues of the Heart. We might have called it a Biblical View of the Heart. We just want to go a little deeper about the heart, because the Bible has an awful lot to say about the heart. And the heart is really, really important. Well, it really is. It's at the center of every motive, every thought, everything that we do, and therefore is very important to God. Remember what God told Samuel after about seven of Jesse's sons had passed before him? And he said, don't look on their outward appearance and how good they look and all that stuff, because he says, God doesn't look at what man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks on the all the time. We do have a responsive reading. I think it'll be on the screen. It's also on a paper on the back side of the notes in the bulletin. Shall we stand together in honor of God's word? I'll read what's in the light print. I'll ask you to read what's in the dark print, and I'll join you on this final verse. These are all from Proverbs and Psalms, and all have to do some way with the heart. Father, we thank you today for your wonderful love for us, and we thank you that nothing can block that except our own calloused, unbelieving, unrepentant, rebellious heart. But Lord, you love us in spite of that, and you've done a wonderful work in the hearts of many of us here today. But we pray that you would continue to work in our hearts, and that you would continue to mold our hearts, and that we would have a heart for you, and that you would be able to say, as you said of David, I have found for myself a man after my own heart. Lord, that you would just give us a heart in tune with your heart, and that our heart would be the way that it needs to be, so that everything else about us can be the way that it needs to be. We realize, as we see discrepancies in our actions and thoughts, that actually that is nothing but a manifestation of a discrepancy in our heart. And until the heart is fixed, the outer will not be fixed. So, Lord, give us a new heart today, and give us a heart for you above all else. These things we ask humbly in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you are of those who like to make notes and the like, you might want to go ahead and have that ready. It occurred to me, quite some time ago, and I haven't spoken on it, but, you know, in Western society, we do put a lot of emphasis on the heart. But we think of the heart on Valentine's Day, everything's heart-shaped boxes of candy and little mints shaped like hearts with little red printing on them. Y'all remember those, right? And the Valentines that we give and all that. And we think of the heart as the center of emotion and affection and love. But see, the heart is so much more than that. And I just thought, you know, we need to understand a little bit more about the heart, because in the Bible, the heart, yes, it is that. It is the center. Now, the heart is the center. In the biblical point of view, the heart is the center. We talk about that's the heart of the matter. And what we mean is that's the very core of the matter. Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth, the center of the earth, the core of the earth, for 3 days and three nights. And we could go on and on, but in the scriptures, that the heart represents the center. Now, in some other cultures, I heard of one culture overseas where for them, the center of everything is the throat. So they don't receive Jesus into their heart, they receive him into their throat. But according to the biblical and the Hebrew point of view, the heart is the center. It's the very core of the person. It's the very essence of who you are. Not what people see, but who you really are. Not your physical body, not your mind, not your brain, but the very, very core and the very, very essence of who you are. And that is the part that God wants to connect with. Can I hear an amen? In fact, that's the only part He really can connect with. And that is why the heart is so important in Scripture. And that is why God wants our heart more than He wants anything else. Because He knows if He has all the outward compliance and all that, and the church going, and even the Bible reading sometimes and all that, and He doesn't have my heart, He has not gained what He wants. God is at that point still dissatisfied. And He does not have what He satisfies Him, and we are not going to develop into what He wants us to be. So with all of those things in mind, let's take a little look at the heart today from a scriptural point of view. Indeed, the heart is, I have put the seat of. It is where something originates, like fountains have a point of origin. That's what the heart is in us. So, we learn from Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5 that indeed, and this is point number one, I believe, here on the notes. The heart is the seat of our love and affection. It is. We love people with our hearts. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. So we do love the Lord our God with all of our heart. And when we're really serious about something, we say, I really mean this from the heart. I really mean this with all of my heart. And sometimes we will say to someone, well, I love you with all my heart. Or we'll say to the Lord, Lord, I'm saying this, I'm praying this to you from the depths of my heart. And so, yes, the heart is how we love. And it says in the New Testament, love each other deeply from the heart. You know, we can fake love, we can pretend, but on the outside, sort of. But it's not real unless it's really from the heart. There are a lot of things that aren't real unless they're from the heart. Repentance isn't real unless it's really from the heart. Just saying some words, I'm sorry, that doesn't really, you know. Repentance is real when it's really from the heart. And believe me, others may not know, and sometimes we may not even fully know, but God always knows if it's really from the heart. Amen? He knows. He knows the heart. He sees the heart. The heart is laid bare before Him, and He knows every thought, every motive, everything that's going on in the heart. But the heart is not just the seat of affection and love. And in a Western society, it's very, and from a biblical point of view, it's very important that we understand this. Secondly, the heart is the seat of our understanding. And that was the first casualty in the garden when man sinned, when he took of the forbidden fruit. His understanding went out the window. His understanding was darkened. And from that moment, man has no real understanding. And that is why, in spite of all of the technology that we've got today, the world is still in the biggest mess it's ever been in. Can I hear an amen on that one? And it's because we don't have any understanding. There's only one true understanding, and it is the understanding that comes from God. And that understanding only comes from the heart. We cannot understand the things of God with our brain. We can take in the information, but understanding comes from the heart. And when we're born again, and when God gives us a new heart, He restores our understanding. And then from that point on, as we read and study the Bible and study the Scripture, it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. But the mind has to come in to conformity with the truth of God. But the heart, first and foremost, has to come into conformity to the truth of God. But I will not understand the things of God until my heart is changed. That's why Jesus says to Nicodemus, who is a leader of the Jews, an outstanding religious man, a very sincere man, a very devout man, but he says, you must be what? Born again. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is spirit. And Nicodemus says, what's this about being born again? I can't crawl into my mama's womb again and be... He says, listen, let me tell you. And, you know, what's born of the flesh is flesh. What's born of the Spirit is spirit. And if you're not understanding these little things I'm telling you, what are you going to do if I begin to talk to you about truly heavenly things? And that's because it's with the heart that we understand the truth of God. It's not with the mind. The mind can intake the information, but there isn't any real understanding. How many here today would say, yeah, I knew a whole lot about the Bible, but it had never really sunk down into my heart. I wasn't really living it. And I didn't really fully understand it until the Lord did a work in my heart, and then I understood. Has that happened to anybody except me? And see, that's proof right there. It's the heart. It's the heart that is the seat of understanding. And so as believers, that's real important for us to know. Because the Word of God, as we study it and as we read it, It's got to be understood by the heart. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver. Now this is the truth of God he's talking about here. He's not talking about physical sciences and all that stuff. And if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And then we read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom or understanding. And so it's an issue of the heart. Jesus taught in parables. The disciples said, why do you teach in parables? He said, so that seeing they won't see and understanding they won't understand. Jesus said, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. And so what America needs today is a turning to God with our heart, because until we turn to Him with our heart, we will not have our understanding restored. Ephesians 4:17-18 says of the Gentile world of which we are a part, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. But the heart is not only the seat of love and affection, and it is not only the seat of our understanding, but it is also the seat of our desires. That's number three. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. For although they knew God, again back to the Gentile world, They neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. We are living that in America today. And it's sobering. And it is because of heart issues. Let's move on to number four. The heart is not only the seat of love and affection and understanding and desires, but I think we know that it is the seat of our motives. Many can observe our outward behaviors and all of that, but who can know the motives? We know this verse, I think, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active. That would be the Bible. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes, it says in the NIV. We use the NIV here, but that is a translation. And I'm going to give you some other words that actual English translations have here. The King James says the thoughts and intents of the heart. And by the way, of all the versions I checked, that is the number one way to translate it. The thoughts and the intents of the heart. I'm going to give you some more of the words that English translations use. God's Word judges the thoughts and attitudes, intents, intentions, desires, purposes, motives, and plans of the heart. And so our motives come from the heart, and that is very, very important to God. He is interested not only in what I am doing, but He is interested in why I am doing it. Including service, including church work, including good works, including whatever I do. And we know that. If I'm doing it for my own fulfillment because it fills a need in me, that's not the best motive for doing service. Now, I believe that as we serve God and we do His will and we serve others, yes, there's a certain fulfillment that's going to come from that. But what about if it was something I hated? Would I still do it if I knew the Lord wanted me to do it? So, motives become very important, and motives do not come from the brain. They come from the heart. Now, I like this last one a lot, and you need to understand this one. The heart is the seat of faith. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, and by extension, in his heart, that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. We believe with our hearts. But what does it say? This is from Romans 10. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Faith is not something conjured up in the brain. It is something of the heart. And that is why it is so powerful. And that is why when faith takes root in the heart, nothing can shake it. People can tell you all the contrary stuff, and they will. Believe me, there is a lot of negative input in the world. Even other believers may try to put negative, but when it is settled in the heart, that's why we don't have to struggle to believe, because when faith has taken root in the heart, it is growing on its own, and nothing can change it, nothing can do anything about it, nothing can shake it. It is in the heart, and it is firm, and it is sure, and it will see the result. Can I hear an amen? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, not my brain. If I hide it in my brain, I'll still sin against it. And that's what a lot of believers are doing today. They've got His Word in their brain, and they're still going out and sinning and doing all the stuff that the Scripture should be convicting them of. But the reason they're not convicted is because they haven't hidden it in their heart, and therefore they can know it with their mind and still go out and do it and not see a contradiction or feel bad about it. Let's go on to this next section. I just did this little thing, heart, mind, and will. It may be very simple, but maybe it'll help us to kind of get a relation here. Number one, the mind. You know what it does? It processes information. Now, once that information is received into the mind, then it can just be stored there. And if it's about physical matter, such as math and numbers and this and that, then that's exactly where it stays. And God gave us a physical brain so that we could know and see and understand and perceive the physical world that He has placed us in. But we can only know Him in the heart. We can only know Him in the spirit. And that has to be, we were talking about that in the class this morning, how God revealed Himself to Jacob. We cannot know God unless He reveals Himself to us. And He does that to the heart. To the sinner, God is seeking to reveal Himself as the Savior and as the forgiver of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then if we're already saved, then He is seeking to reveal Himself in other ways. The Provider, the Holy One, the Righteous One, and so many other things. But the mind is just a fancy computer, and the mind is basically a processor and store of information. The heart. What does the heart do? It loves, it trusts, it desires, it understands, and it gives birth to motives. That's what the heart does. What does the will do? The will enforces the desires and motives of the heart. The will, sometimes we think the will is in charge. The will is not in charge. The heart is always in charge, and the will is a servant of the heart. The will always bow to the wishes and desires of the heart. It is the enforcer, and God put it there for a reason. And when a will is yielded to God, as we say, that is a will that is serving its purpose. Amen? But when a will is yielded to God, it will be fighting and in opposition against temptation and sin and things from the enemy and all of those things. So, submitted to God means doing battle with the devil. Can I hear an amen? And that is the will. But it serves the heart. So since the natural heart, there's a verse that says the heart is wicked above all else, who can know it? Wicked and deceitful above all else. That's in Jeremiah. Who can know it? I, the Lord, who search the reins, and so forth. The will is simply the enforcer of what the heart desires. So in natural man, it serves the flesh, because the heart also is about self. Before I'm born again, it's about self. Even the religious stuff I do is about self. Everything is about the self and about the flesh and pleasing the flesh when I'm in the flesh. So then the will enforces that, enforces what the heart desires. But when I get a new heart from the Lord, and when He restores my heart to Him, then the will becomes the enforcer of that, and of the things of God. And so we will, you know, as believers, we will encounter temptation. The will is the enforcer of the desires of the heart. So if my heart wants to serve God, wants to please God, then my will stand up and say, no, I'm not doing that, because that is not pleasing to God. But the will is a servant of the heart. In the new man, it serves the understanding. In the old man, the will serves the flesh. And as we explained earlier, we only gain understanding, as the Bible would define it, after we have received our new heart from the Lord. So I just thought we would share a little information today. I don't know how much of this, but all of this has practical application. If you look at it, it all begins with the heart. Okay, let's just do a real quick checklist. Love and affection. What are the things I love? Hey, the world loves sinful things. Before we knew the Lord, we loved sinful things, didn't we? Sure we did. Our understanding. Do I understand that God wanted understanding to be in charge, not the flesh, but that understanding is only possible when I've received a transformed heart from Him? Our desires. What are the things that I most desire? What are the desires of my heart right now? And are those desires in keeping with what the Lord wants? Now, if I have a basic desire to serve the Lord, but then I have some other little desires that are coming from the flesh or coming from whatever and a little bit in conflict, or if I'm having some desires and I don't know for sure, then what do? Then I bring them to the Lord and I say, Lord, now you know about these desires, and you know whether these desires that I have are in keeping with your plan for me or not. So Lord, I'm taking these desires and I'm putting them on the altar. Now if it's something that we know is scriptural, then we don't have to check that way. Does the Lord want you to pray for your unsaved loved ones and friends? Absolutely. Because He desires that all should, that no one should be lost, and that all should come to repentance. But how are my desires? And of course, the motives. The motives. It's a good place to take inventory. Oh, and the faith. Lord, give me a heart to believe. Hallelujah. Because if we can win that battle, We won't be fighting these battles of faith really much anymore. We'll be doing battle in faith, but we won't be doing this battle of I wish I had more faith, because faith will have taken root in the heart. How's our heart this morning? Huh? Bill Malone came downstairs one night this week, and he was wearing one of those travel drives, they call them, or something, on a thing. I said, man, for a minute, I thought you were wearing a stethoscope. But if the Lord, I think He's got His own kind of stethoscope, don't you? A little bit different than what the medical doctor has. But He sure can check out a heart, can He? Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, and we really do bow before you, Lord. And we just think you made us. I think of what David said, I'm just fearfully and wonderfully made. And I know that he was talking about more than just the physical. And even in the physical realm, that is true. But Lord, you've put a heart in us. And that heart had strayed from you. And our heart is very willful, in that our heart wants its own way and very often wants to go its own direction. But you gave your Son on the cross so that we could be restored to you. And the first thing you give us is a new heart. You said of your people Israel, I'm going to put a new heart in you. And you're not even going to need the law written on tablets anymore, because it's going to be written on your hearts. And I'm going to replace that heart of stone that you have, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And I'm going to give you a heart that wants to do my will, that wants to serve me, that wants to please me, that wants to obey me, that wants to do what I want. And Lord, that's where we want to be today. Keep renewing our hearts, Lord. Thank you for the new heart we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep renewing our heart. Keep adjusting our heart. Because, Lord, we know as long as our heart is in line with you, then the will and the motives and the desires will fall in line. And so, Lord, work in our hearts today. Give us hearts that are aligned with you. We thank you, and we do love you, Lord, with our hearts. And we want to love you and serve you with all our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We always have a closing hymn, and during that time, I'm right down front. And if you, the Lord's speaking to your heart this morning about something, please come down and share it. If you're in need of receiving Christ as your Savior and Lord and receiving a new heart, come and we'll pray with you, because he said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And we've seen several children take that step this week. And if you're here and you don't really know Jesus as Savior, that is the first step to getting your understanding back. It is the first step to getting your desires and motives and everything in line where they need to be. And that's the first thing you need to be doing today. And if you have any other thing on your heart today you'd like to share, feel free to do that during this closing hymn.